Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, coming to you all on this Thursday, going to be the final day of podcasts for this week here for Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And I'm just going to kind of talk about a bunch of different topics that I've been asked about recently. One of them might be Rajon Rondo and him coming to New Orleans, but potentially sign as a free agent. Do I think he'd fit in here? I want to talk a little bit about drawing some more fouls and kind of something you can learn and see from this NBA postseason, particularly with the Houston Rockets, and how it'll apply to the New Orleans Pelicans should they try and go a bit of that route in the future and in free agency. So a bunch of different topics here, maybe some about the head coaches out there that the Pelicans could get should they decide to part ways with Alvin Gentry as well. And, you know, would those guys be a good fit, and maybe what should the direction be that the Pelicans take? So a lot to cover here on this Wednesday as I record it, but it's Thursday when you're all listening to it. Rainy day in New Orleans, really kind of crappy outside. Definitely not a lot of fun here. You might hear some thunder in the background, which maybe sounds cool. Maybe it sounds like I don't even know. Like some Thor action here. But still, a lot to cover on today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. Do grab bag, clear out a couple of these topics. So we're just going to jump right into it. So the first thing I want to tackle here today is going to be Rajon Rondo and potentially trading for him, because, you know, the Bulls probably just need to tear it all down and rebuild, but I don't know if they're going to or not, especially with Wade potentially being a free agent and leaving there as well. And they just had a decent enough playoff run where they went up 2-0 before Boston came storming back to take the next four. And really, once Rondo was injured for that team breaking his hand, it was kind of over, and you could see that being the case. And he had played so exceptionally during that series that he, I think, rejuvenated his career a little bit, and maybe some people really started to buy in on him. But the problem is he is under contract with the Bulls. He's making next season a little over $13 million per year. That's a lot. Now, it's guaranteed for just $3 million, but that's only until June 30th, where it's likely, you know, he's not going to get dealt before then. And, you know, if that's the case, then it guarantees for the full thing. And that's a lot of money to spend on a guy who, frankly, during the regular season, really wasn't good for this Bulls team. I'm pulling up the numbers right now. I don't have it right up in front of me. Here we go. For the year, he averaged just under 8 points per game, 6.7 assists, did grab 5.1 rebounds. He's always been good as a rebounding guard. But then you look at the numbers, and they're not good elsewhere. He shot only 40.8% from the field. From three, he shot 37.6%, which is a good percentage, but he doesn't take a large volume, a hair under 2 3-point attempts per game. So he's making under 1 3-point attempt per game. That's going to give you pause, because he's not a court spacer. And anyone you put on this team when you have DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis needs to be a court spacer and have some other skills too. But you need to have shooters around those guys. Otherwise, teams can really, and this is going to tie into what I want to talk about next, which is going to come with the fouling and drawing fouls and getting to the free throw line. If teams are just down low in the paint, they can hack those guys and the calls might not get out there. It's going to give them less room to work with. And this offense isn't going to click in the half court like you want it to. Rondo can play in transition. He's fast to push, you know, a break up the court with the man advantage. But overall, that shooting really worries you. I think one of the reasons he looked so good defensively for those first two games before he broke his wrist was because he knew that playbook for the Boston Celtics. You could see it. He was calling out the reads in every everything they wanted to do offensively. He was in the passing lanes. He knew what the actions were, and he's not going to know that all the time. And it kind of jumps out at you that, yeah, he played really well in that series, but then didn't play too well after that. And during the regular season, his offensive rating personally was a 99. Defensive rating was a 105. That's bad. Definitely not a good thing, not what you want to see out of him. So I don't know if he's really the guy to try and make a move for. Maybe as a last resort, if you can get him for a second round pick and you've got a way to fit him in under the salary cap, if you had to kick some salary out of there, sure, do it. But he shouldn't be the main person, you know, you're looking to try and go out and get. He's 31. He's actually older than I am. Which I didn't realize. He's been in the league for such a long time now. So, you know, not your first choice, maybe someone to keep way in the back of your mind as a potential trade target if they need to shore up some guard depth. But frankly, if Tim Frazier doesn't turn the ball over and who does just fine, but, you know, teams are still going to go under screens against Rajon Rondo, and it's going to lead to kind of the same problem. And the bigger issue to me really is the lack of shooting. So this is going to tie into the second thing I want to talk about today. And I talked about this a few weeks ago on the podcast when we were talking about how Drew Holiday doesn't get fouled, doesn't really get to the line. The Pelicans don't do a good job of getting to the free throw line and taking shots despite the fact that you have Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins there. They just don't have the people around those two to take advantage of getting into the bonus early or anything like that. One of the reasons, though, is partially because they're kind of crowded in the paint. And this is the trouble of figuring out how to play a wide open or play a too big offense in kind of this normal wide open NBA now. And it's one thing that really jumps out with the Houston Rockets. And this goes back a number of years. They've kind of been building towards this identity for like four seasons now. And frankly, I think Daryl Morey, their GM, should be executive of the year, has done such a good job of finding the right guys to fit and put around James Harden. I think Harden should have been the MVP. And frankly, D'Antoni has a damn good case for being the NBA coach of the year, with the Rockets finishing as the third best team in the league, I think, third in the West, and I think it was third best team overall. So it's a really impressive season they've had there. And they do it a lot because they run this wide open system. And one of the things they're excellent at is getting Harden to the line. That's what made that series between Houston and OKC near unwatchable at times, was all of the fouls and drawing fouls and creating contact. And when I first really started to watch this was a number of years ago when Eric Gordon actually showed up to one of the BourbonStreetShots.com watch parties. And I got to talk to him for 2 hours. He just comes in, by the way. I think it was Andrew Smith, our like videographer for the site, looks over at me and goes, "That dude looks a whole lot like Eric Gordon." It was a one-game road trip in Houston. Gordon was out with a shoulder injury, and he just decided to come on over and hang out and watch the game with us, which is why you should always show up to things, as you never know who's going to be there. But he comes on in, and he sits down, and all the fans left him alone. It was really cool to sit in the middle of one of those big, long tables there with all of us. I sat opposite from him and talked to him up for about 2 hours, and he made a really good point. One of the reasons Houston gets a lot of calls is their paint is very wide open underneath the basket. And what I mean is it's mainly guys on perimeter. So when James Harden drives or Patrick Beverly drives or one other person drives, the refs can see very clearly if there's contact down low, right in the restricted area or beneath the basket or in the paint. There's no one blocking their sight lines where they're not sure whether there was contact or whether it was a foul or not. They very clearly see what happened. Pels can't really do that when you have Davis and Cousins on the court at the same time. Now, they try to. There's a reason Cousins kind of hangs out at the three-point line at times, and that's because you don't want to muck up the paint too much. But, you know, Rondo is still going to muck up the paint, even though he can drive and sometimes draw fouls like he used to early in his career, though he doesn't do such a good job of that now. The problem is, if he's on the perimeter, no one's going to respect him out there. They're going to sag off and clog the paint a little bit more. You're not going to get fouls called then. This is why shooters and shooting depth around this team and around these two bigs is going to be very important for the future, because the Pels need things to be open. If you've got two bigs out there and they're banging down low, you don't want refs not to call that. That's where you get Cousins really frustrated. He turns the ball over. He's not running back on defense. It leads to all of these problems, and that's things you want to avoid. I think Rondo compounds that more than he helps it, even though he had a very good postseason for the Bulls. By the way, your company could be right here. Sponsor Locked On Pelicans and your company will reach a passionate 98% male audience that is 78% between the ages of 18 to 44 and 75% from 25 to 54. Ideal demographics. Recent studies have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more likely to interact with sponsors than other forms of media. Get your company great exposure right here on Locked On Pelicans. Rates are very reasonable based solely on the number of listeners, so you're going to get your value's worth. Always a good thing. Email me. It's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com. Again, that's jake@bourbonstshots.com to get started for your company here on Locked On Pelicans today. Final thing I really want to talk about today is still more stuff with the head coaching. So I talked about Jeff Van Gundy yesterday with it. And someone asked me today about Mark Jackson and what I thought about him being the future Pelicans head coach. And to that, I'm just going to say no. Definitely not. That's not something I'm interested whatsoever in. So one, don't forget, he and Ehrman worked together, and that had a very ugly exit where Ehrman was left leaving recording devices and stuff, trying to like capture him or get him on audio to rat him out to ownership. And I don't really know what went on. I don't know. At this point, I really like what Darren Ehrman's done with the defense, so I'd rather keep him. And frankly, if you're bringing in Mark Jackson, there's no way you're going to be able to keep Darren Ehrman again, and or continue keeping him, whatever you want to say. So the other issue with it is I don't think he really deserves a lot of credit there in Golden State. They had, you know, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and all of that. And yeah, he might have been the coach and gotten a lot of those guys out of there. But the reason they're so good is those guys developed, and I don't know if that's necessarily due to Jackson. They really took off once Steve Kerr stepped in there. And of course, it's one of those situations where they needed someone else to take them to the next level. You don't want the Pelicans to be doing what we talked about with Van Gundy, where it was, you know, losing in the first round every year and not making far. You want to get the coach that'll take you to that next level. And the Pels need to kind of skip a level here. So to Mark Jackson, I definitely say no. You know, his tenure there ended quite ugly, where he was feuding with ownership, things like that. That's not something this team here in New Orleans, the Pelicans as a franchise, need right now at all. So no to Mark Jackson. Continue looking for potentially a different head coach. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Again, still no update on the futures of Dell Demps or head coach Alvin Gentry. Of course, if anything breaks over the weekend or Friday, I'll be here to cover it for you guys within a couple of hours. We'll get a podcast up, even if I have to record like on my phone right away and upload it. So enjoy your Friday. Enjoy the weekend. No big Pelicans news just yet. Watch the playoffs. There's a lot to learn from looking at how these teams play. One thing to keep in mind, and of course I'm recording this before the game goes on tonight, one thing I'm watching for, or what I would have watched for last night, and we'll talk about it maybe on Monday, is the Spurs' refusal to kind of go small against the Rockets. That's an interesting thing to me, because you've got to wonder, in this day and age, can you build a team around two bigs, especially in Davis and Gentry? The Spurs struggled in game one because they got their bigs killed, because they didn't want to go small against that Rockets team and kind of play into that strength, but maybe it was what they needed to do. Going to kind of be a little bit telling maybe about the Pelicans' future here and what they're going to do around the league and how next season's going to go. So something to keep an eye on. We'll talk about that on Monday and more. So again, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Audioboom, wherever podcasts are found. Follow it on Twitter, at Locked On Pels. Like it on Facebook. All of that helps keep this free for you guys and four or five times a week. So enjoy your weekend, and I'll be back with you guys on Monday.